Instead, Alec's father had focused not on the final sounds, but on the process of creating them. He drew a series of little diagrams showing different positions of the tongue and lips, which he called his visible speech kit. The diagrams were simple enough for even a child to read. To demonstrate this, Alec's father had guests come over and challenge them to make sounds that were exotic or unexpected. A click from the Southern African Khoisa language, a Spanish rolled R, even a sneeze. Then he'd pull out the appropriate cards, showing how to produce the sounds and pass them to his sons, who'd been kept out of the room. Relying only on the cards, Alec and his brother would move their tongues and widen or narrow their throats to produce exactly the targeted sound. The truth was, Mabel did love Alec beyond measure. Her mother hadn't been telling the truth when she'd pretended to read from the rejection letter earlier in the summer. She and Alec had fallen in love, with neither admitting it, over a year before. They developed an intimacy during the months of teaching. She had found someone who would see through her deafness. He had found a woman who was confident enough to match all his interests. When she was late, he'd meet her carriage and they'd run together through the snow to his schoolroom. They had talked about politics and families, and sometimes just gossiped. And time after time, as she tried different sounds, he had touched her throat, and she had touched his, quite properly, with other students around, ostensibly just for the sake of identifying how different words produce different vibrations. But each had suspected what the other was thinking. "Your voice has a beautiful quality," he had whispered to her after one session, using hand gestures and careful enunciation so she could read his lips. She was startled and wrote about it to her family. She'd almost no memory of what her voice was like, and she knew she'd never hear it again. No one had ever thought to tell her it was beautiful. In 1875, his love and his invention came together. Why not create a device with an artificial voice box that mimicked a human one? He knew it could be done, for as a teenager, he and his brother had created an artificial throat and lips. The tongue was made of several small coated paddles, and behind it, they'd put the larynx from a dissected sheep, and below it, they'd attached a bellows to serve as the lungs powering it all. By pumping the bellows and carefully moving the larynx and the homemade tongue and lips, they'd made it yelp, "Mama," so clearly that an upstairs neighbor called down that someone should feed the baby. A little later, they'd practice on the family dog, a long-suffering Skye Terrier. First, they got the dog to produce a steady growling hum, and then, with copious biscuits as an inducement, Alec gently manipulated the Skye's larynx while his brother worked its lips. To their friend's amazement, several distinct simple words came out. Now in Boston, Mabel's father had also become resigned to his daughter's match and decided to help Alec so he could support his daughter. He began paying for an assistant for Alec, a young machinist named Tom Watson, and together, the two 20-something hopefuls began by preparing a hand-sized sheet of stiff parchment. Hold it in front of your mouth, and as you poured out words, the parchment rippled back and forth in time with the sound vibrations from your throat, like the skin on Mabel's throat in those tremulous days of teaching months before. To create a working telephone, Alec needed a way to turn the patterns that words made in the shaking parchment into electricity. He'd learned a lot in the tedious months he'd spent working to improve the telegraph, and he remembered one key observation. If the electric charges pouring out from a battery are poured into a wire, a current rolls along at a steady rate. But if you bend or twist the wire, the current can't pour through so easily. You've increased the resistance inside the wire. Alec brought the parchment close to his mouth and placed a wire along the other side of it, almost touching the paper. Each time he spoke, the puff of air from his mouth pushed the parchment against the wire. It didn't bend it very much. The air vibrations when we speak are tiny. But for the even smaller streams of electric current pouring along inside the wire, it was enough. He imagined the sides of the wire starting to bend in. The electrical sparks or fluid that he pictured flowing inside it was being squeezed so that less got through. He, too, didn't have a clear idea of what was inside a wire. The resistance was high. Then, when the giant Gulliver outside stopped speaking, the awful wind blasts and earthquake ended. The wire straightened out. The full stream of electric current sped through it. The resistance was back to being low. There would be many modifications in later years, but that's basically how a telephone works. You speak into a microphone that's a bit like a human larynx or voice box. The microphone quivers from your voice's uneven air blasts, shaking rapidly with exuberant high sounds, but barely at all with silences or quiet ums. The quivering microphone leads a wire to send an electric current surging along in an exact copy of that uneven pattern. When the current arrives in the listener's receiver, everything happens in reverse. All the up and down patterns your voice has produced in the microphone are now in the receiver. When a lot of current arrives, it makes a surface, in this case plastic, vibrate quickly, and the listener hears a loud, clear voice. If the electric current is weak, the membrane inside the earpiece vibrates slowly, and the listener hears only a quiet whisper. With Bell's invention, even a whisper could be carried, undimmed, through thousands of feet of wire. With some encouragement from Mabel's anxious parents, Alec applied for a patent, and then an improvement on the patent, and soon after there was the wedding, which, to Mabel's delight, had lilies, lots of them. Alec gave her pearls, a silver pendant in the shape of a telephone, and 1,497 shares of stock in the fledgling Bell Telephone Company, which would be worth, if kept in the family, several billion dollars today. Less than a year later, their first child was born. Their marriage lasted till the end of their lives.